The title of my message is Finding Joseph. Finding Joseph. You may be seated in the Lord's house. I have had the embarrassing experience. Every husband, if you feel this, just say amen. Let me know that you're with me. Or even wives, or even anybody. You've been through this situation. I've had the experience where my wife has called me. And she has called me and said, sweetie, can you go to the store? And I say, yeah, babe, I'll go to the store for you. And she said, can you bring back some milk and some eggs and bananas? And I say, yes, sweetie, I got you. Milk, eggs, and bananas. She said, please, sweetie, I really need some milk, eggs, and bananas. And I have had the experience of going to the store, coming out the store, going home with everything but milk, eggs, and banana. Anybody ever had that experience? Anybody ever did that? Where your wife calls you. She's literally like, hey, milk, eggs, banana. And I walked in there, and please don't let it be Target, because I go to Target, or even if I go to Food Lion, I'll go in and I start seeing, oh, yeah, I wanted to get some of that. And I remember I wanted to grab some of this. And oh, yeah, I remember I wanted to get this cereal. And I'll start looking around. And if I'm at Target, it's a wrap. If I'm at Target, it is over. I'm buying books. I'm just all over the place. And I come home with bags of grocery. I walk in with bags upon bags. And when I come through the door, my wife is like, wow. And as soon as the bags sit on the table, she starts pulling stuff out because she don't care but nothing about the books I bought. She don't care about these shirts. She don't care about this little ice cream I got. She don't care about this bacon that I bought. She's sitting there saying, where in the world are my milk and my eggs and my bananas? That ever happened to anybody? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Can you wave, wink, nod your head? Did somebody do that recently? Where are you at? I see you. I'm there. She's hitting you and elbowing you right now. I believe it is possible to go and get an instruction that's so clear, but still go to the store and just completely miss it. How is it possible that my wife just told me what to get and I forgot? What happened was I hijacked her assignment for me. What happened was when I got in the store, I started seeing the stuff I wanted, and I forgot about the stuff she wanted, so I hijacked the whole thing and made it about me and not about her. I believe this is the plight of God. God sends us into the earth. God gets us saved, gives us an assignment. We say, yes, Lord, and somewhere along the path, we done hijacked God's assignment. We were doing his deeds and doing his will, but somehow we got into the spiritual store of blessings, and while we were looking around, we completely forgot about what the Lord actually called us. And when I say us, I'm talking about you, but I'm also talking about us, the church. It is possible for God to have us be the church, and we do church, and we shout, and we sing, and totally miss the assignment that God has on our lives. It is possible that in the midst of the preaching, in the midst of the singing, in the midst of the dancing, in the midst of the worship, that we forget the reason why he brought us together in the first place. Christianity is not about you telling God what you want. Christianity is about God telling you what he wants. Prayer is not just you going to God with your list. Is you taking out your pen and paper and saying, God, now tell me what's on your list. If you want to be a true Christian, it is not about what you can make God do for you. It's about God making you do something for him. And all of our goal is to figure out what God, hey, what do you want? It is my belief that God cares about this word. I want you to hear this word. I believe that God cares about family. Everybody say family. But not just your individual family, even though God does care about your individual family. I believe God cares about the kingdom family. We are not just a church. We are a family. We are not just a body, a group of believers. We are a family. We'll prove that in scripture, Pastor. All right, I can give you so many verses. I'll give you a couple. Ephesians 2:19 says, consequently, you no longer are foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his family. household. That's his family. John 1 and 12 says, yes, 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 to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. That's family. Romans 8, 29, for those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to his image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. That's family. Romans 8, 15 says, the spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. What am I saying? The church is a family, which means we are here to encourage each other. We are here to lift each other up, because there's some grandmothers in here with wisdom. There's some grandfathers in here who hook you up. There's some brothers in here who can take care of you. There's some sisters in here who can uplift your soul. This is family. Everybody say family. Which means we love each other, we got each other's back, but it also means we will get on each other's nerve. Oh, that's just my family. Why you gonna act like you see? I cried to God. We will annoy each other every now and then, which means we got some crazy family members up in here. We got some family members that got it all together, and we got some family members that we're praying for, believing God for, because they will cuss you out in a second. We have family. Push your neighbor and say, you family. God cares about the kingdom family. God wants, I need everybody to hear what I'm saying. God's mission is to get as many lost people into the family as he possibly can. God's mission is to get as many lost people into the family as he possibly can. God wants this family to be huge. God wants this family to be big. God wants this family to be spilling over. And every morning you wake up, every day, God is looking to find somebody to add to the family. Can I tell all the people who are in the family, can I tell you how you got here? You got here because from the day you were born, God went looking for you. And the only reason why you're here is not because a preacher has some skill. It's not because you got into the right service. It's because God tapped you on the shoulder one day and he said, I'm looking for you. And that's how you got found. I wish I had somebody in the room that can wave your hand and say, Pastor, you talking to me? Because God found some of you in the worst of circumstances. Is there anybody here that's glad that God came looking for you? And when God comes looking for you, he will find you anywhere he can get you. The Bible says that can't nobody come to God unless he first draw them. So when you were 10, he was drawing you. When you were 15, he was drawing you. When you was 21, he was drawing you. And then you got 27 and sat into a service and you thought it was a preacher that made you come down the aisle. It was not a preacher. God pimped that preacher for that day to talk to you and to get you to stand up, because he's been drawing you this entire time. And when God comes looking for you, he will find you in a hospital. He will find you in a jail. He will find you with a bottle of liquor. He will walk up in a club while you sitting there dancing. He will tap you on the shoulders. Tears start coming down your face. You got to run into a bathroom and say, what's happening to my life? It's because the father of the family, he came looking for you. Can I get a witness up in here to say, when God found me, I didn't have it all together. When God found me, I wasn't perfect. God found me while I was cheating. God found me while I was stealing. God found me while I was lying. God found me when I was smoking, and then all of a sudden the cigarette that had me for a moment, it didn't taste the same after he got his hands on me. Is there anybody in this room saying, Pastor, you done read my baggage? That's my whole story right there. Can somebody say, God, I give you praise, because when I wasn't smart enough to go looking for you, you were smart enough to come looking for me. Yeah, you look good now, but what about 5 years ago? What about 10 years ago? I know you got it all together, and you pretty, and you and your spouse look amazing today, but there was a day you looked terrible. You looked like yesterday's trash, but God cleaned you up. Don't ever forget where he found you from. So here's my question. If God's intent is to make the family bigger, why isn't the family just spilling over? Why don't we just have people everywhere. It's my belief. Good God, I got back up with security. It is my belief that God keeps drawing them in, but his people keep pushing them out. It's my belief that every day God keeps drawing them. But then when they get around us, we keep pushing them away. My kids always say, Daddy, can our friends come over? And I'm always like, so will you stop it? You already know, because I already know what's going to happen. They say, Daddy, please, please let our friends come over. If we just have our friends come over, it'll just be the greatest thing. So I say, okay, I let their friends come over. And as soon as they see one of their friends playing with one of their toys, they be like, get that toy, get that, that's my toy. My wife will make some food, and she'll put the food out, and my kids will look at their friends like, if you touch my mother's food, I will slap that chicken nugget right out of your hand. They start watching TV, and the kids, their friends will grab the remote. My kids will take the remote. Excuse me, get your hands off my remote. I'll be hugging the kids and playing with the kids. And my kids look at me like, did you forget who your real son and daughter is? These ain't your kids. You better stop playing with my father. Get over here. Now, as funny as it sounds, when I talk about my kids, we the same way. We will pull up in church and be like, why there's so many, they can't find a parking spot anywhere. What's all these people doing here? Good God, can't you go to another church? You come in, don't let the children's line be too long. You be sitting there like, are you serious? Are you for real? What kind of church is it? Where y'all come? Y'all know y'all don't come every week anyway. And I'm gonna pick on somebody. Y'all, we the people. I'm gonna tell you who the worst people. The worst people are those end seat people. Those people who they have their seat and they like to sit on the end. Can I tell you what you're supposed to do? I see you, sister. I see what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to, when somebody comes in, you're really supposed to get on up and scoot on over. But you the type of person, you just be like, no, come on in. I ain't moving, no. And y'all just sit there the whole time, like, no. Get out of here. It's possible that when God bring them in, we push them out. It's gotten so bad that celebrities are starting to rise up. And they're starting to accept people that we rejected. And we can argue all day about whether it's real or not, or whether it's authentic or not, but it almost don't matter. The perception is that the church folk don't want us, but the celebrities do. And so now we got this thing where it looks like the church just don't want no lost people, but that is not God's assignment. God says, my heart, my desire is to get the lost people in. This is why I read the story of the prodigal son. The young son, we all know about him. He leaves home, tells his father, give me my money, give me my stuff. The Bible says he goes out and it's very specific. Jesus is like, yep, he spent it on some women and on some partying. And he spent the whole thing to the point where he got so poor that he had to rent himself out as a slave. He was so hungry that he took a job feeding pigs. And the slop he was feeding the pigs looked so good to him. That because he was so hungry that he said, I got to go back home. Son decides to go back home. And when he goes back home, father's standing there with his arms wide open. When he comes back home, father meets him down the road, puts a robe on his back, ring on his finger, sandals on his feet. And I just want to pause right here just to let everybody know, if it's time for you to come home, we arms are open wide this morning. You can always come home. If this is your church,
If we are your leader, you can always come home. And you don't have to be a member of our church, but if you're in the room, you can come home. There is never a bad time for you to come on home. Because some of you, you know your life has been feeling like you've been in a slop with pigs. You know that you have downgraded. You have settled to a level that's below your Christian privilege. And God brought you here this morning to say, my son, my daughter, come on home. The father never mentioned how bad the son stinks. He didn't mention what he did. He didn't mention that, how dare you come back after all you've done. He didn't remind them of his sins. He reminded them of his grace. If you come on home today, you can think whatever you want about preachers. You can think whatever you want about churches. You can think whatever you want about pastors. I'm talking about God right now. God said, come on home. And when you get there, my arms will be open. When you get there, I got a robe for you. When you get there, I'm putting a ring on your finger. When you get there, I'm putting shoes on your feet. When you get here, I'm going to kill a fattened calf. When you get here, heaven's going to be parted. And if none of my kids like it, that's fine. We still going to do this thing. Just come home. I don't care what you smell like. Weed on your breath, come on home. You got three or four women lined up tonight. That's fine. Come on home. The problem, though, is the oldest son. The oldest son comes in, and he hears partying. He smells the meat. He sees all the servants. He calls the servant. Remember I said that? He called the servant. Servant, come over here. Hey. There a party over there? Yes, there is. I wonder who that's for. I knew my father was going to hook me up. I knew he was going to notice all the stuff I've been doing for the kingdom. And they said, oh, the party ain't for you. He said, what you say now? Excuse me. Oh, the party's not for you. Who the party for? It's for your brother. You mean my heathen brother? You mean that no good thief, nasty, dirty, prostitute-loving brother? You're talking about the one that stole daddy's money and bounced? You mean to tell me you're about to have a party for him? The son said, I'm not going in there. Right here is the moment where I want to beat up the son. I had this whole thing to just tear this son up and tell you how disgusting this son is and beat this son down. But then the Holy Spirit stopped me because he said, I'm a lot like that son than I think. I'm going to show you guys something. I'm going to be transparent for a second. Do you guys have a picture of my family? Can you put a picture of my family up? I want to show you guys this. Y'all, this is my family. That's me. That's my older brother, Will. That's my mom. That's my mom. That's my dad. That's my older brother. That's my younger brother. That's me in a corner. That's my mom. That's my brother. That's us a couple years ago. This is my family. When I was growing up, my dad wasn't always in the house. My dad was in and out of the house because he struggled with an addiction. And my mother raised us all on her own. But me and my mom had a lot of contention when I was growing up because my mother used to take care of foster kids. Foster kids are kids who are part of the state who have been taken ownership by the state because either their parents didn't want them or they didn't have a home, and so they were placed. So my mom always had foster kids in the house. And me and my mom used to go out all the time, not because I didn't like foster kids, but because I saw the stress that it was causing her to take care of all these kids. And I used to say to my mom, I say, Mom, why can't it just be us? Why do we have to keep adding kids to this? Why do we have to keep going and bring, why can't you just be happy with just us? And the reason why my mom, I want you to see my mother, the reason why she had foster kids, can you show the next picture? Is because she herself used to be a foster kid. I called my mother 2 weeks ago, and I said, Mom, why did you feel like you had to have the foster kids in the house? To this day, my mother still, all of us moved out, she still got foster kids in the house. I tried to get her to come in for this service. She couldn't because she had too many kids in the house, couldn't find a way to get them all here. I said, Mom, why you always got to have these foster kids in the house? What is it? What was it? She said, son, when you've been lost and you get found, it is your responsibility to go back to the other lost kids and make sure don't nobody else go through what you went through. And I came to preach to somebody this morning and say, if God picked you up, if God turned you around, if God placed your feet on a solid ground, it's your responsibility to go back to everybody who's struggling with the thing you used to struggle with and say, you don't gotta struggle no more. I met a man named Jesus. He can save you from your sins. If you are here today and your marriage is together, if God blessed your marriage, it is your responsibility to see a broken marriage and say, I can't sit still. I can't be comfortable. I can't just let you have a jacked up relationship like this. If you got your money together, it is your responsibility to go back. I know it's inconvenient. It would be really nice if it could just be us every week. It'd be nice if we didn't have to think about nobody else but just us. That's not the kind of church this is. This is a church that goes after lost people. The father is annoyed with the older son. And the reason why he's annoyed with the older son is because the older son don't get it. His brother woke up around pigs that morning. He woke up with servants getting him grapes. He said, son, you got service, you got houses, you got stuff. This kid didn't even know if he was going to make it to tomorrow. Can we at least celebrate him for a day? Or does it always have to be about you? Do we always have to do every service for you? I know these are not your favorite songs. I know we're not always wearing your favorite clothes. But is it possible that God has given us an assignment to bring lost people into family? And we can't just be focused on who's in the house. I get it. But there's some people out the house that need to come in. And yep, I put a mechanical bull in the lobby. Why? Because if I had the money, we would have put a real bull out there if it meant somebody was going to walk in and say, what's going on in this building? God's desire is to extend the family. But the Bible says, Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful. He said, I don't have a harvest problem. The sinners are not the problem. The sinners are plentiful. They're fine. They're ready. The sinners are like, yes, come on, let's do it. But he said, my laborers, I don't have enough laborers for the amount of sinners who need help. So he said, when you get in your prayer closet, you actually have to pray that God sends you. Because I got laborers who ain't going. I got laborers who are not moving. I got laborers who are not trying to do nothing but just do them. And God's like, no. I want to tell you this story, and then I'm done. One of my mentors, this is a true story. One of my mentors, this man of God, he had a son. He had five kids. And one of his kids, his younger son, his name was Joseph. And the younger son was autistic. And one day when they were on family vacation, the younger son got lost. They were in a store somewhere, and the younger son went to a bathroom. Joseph went to a bathroom and didn't tell nobody he was there. The family left. When they left and Joseph came out the bathroom, he didn't see his family. He walked out, went looking for him. When the family, it was 22 of them. When the family found out that little Joseph was gone, they went ballistic. They went frantic. And they started getting into a panic. And so they started looking for Joseph. They're going all over the street saying, has anybody seen Joseph? Anybody seen Joseph? They're calling Joseph, Joseph. And they're running around. And the father, it's a true story. The father is describing seeing some security guards, some police officers actually. And he went to them and said, hey, can you help me find my son? And he said that the police officers, they were like, hey, it hasn't been 24 hours. And have you looked here? And he said that they were so nonchalant about the fact that he was missing his son that he said he almost wanted to strike one of the police officers. He was willing to go to jail because he was so mad. And he said this thing to him. He said, in the midst of looking for Joseph, if one of my other five kids had said, hey, dad, what's for dinner tonight? He said, I would have been so upset, not because it was a bad question, but because it was the bad time, was the wrong time. Right now, we're looking for Joseph. He said, if one of his daughters would have said, hey, dad, are we still going skating tomorrow? He said he would have been upset. Why? Not because it was a bad question, but because it was at the wrong time. Because right now, we're looking for Joseph. And I believe this is the heart of God. Because here we are every week. We're coming to God about our blessing, about our miracle, about our sign, and about our wonder. And God is saying, that's fine. It's not a bad question. But my question to you is, while I'm doing signs and doing miracles and doing wonders, can you take a moment out your day to help me find some of these Josephs? I get it. You need stuff from me, I know. But truth be told, haven't I done enough for you? Haven't I blessed you already? Haven't I taken care of your needs? Haven't I proven myself? Why am I always on trial every single week? Why do y'all always got me on the stand to see how faithful I'm going to be this week? I've been faithful for the last year. I've been faithful for the last 5 years. I've given you so much. You're so fat on blessing. You have become a blessing. You have become obese with blessing. And God is saying, I get it, but can y'all help me find Joseph? Or are we not going to move until God give us what we want? I have no problem with faith. Our pastor teaches it every week. Every time Pastor Andy gets on the stage and teaches us faith from mountains, I stand up, I cry, because I got mountains I need to be moved. But he teaches on faith, not entitlement. And sometimes we can get to a place where we will actually hold God's praise back from him until he hooks us up. We'll get to a place where we don't even praise like we used to until he hooks us up. So you mean God's got to first hook you up with everything on your list, and then you're going to run, then you're going to shout, then you're going to dance? God is saying, look at your life. Look at what I've done. I get it. You don't have your house yet, but your apartment smells good. Your apartment is doing all right. I get it. You caught an Uber, but catch that. You caught an Uber, which means somewhere there was an account with enough money for you to get a ride on this church and get a ride on back. Stop it. I know you want your miracle. I know you want your sign. I know you want your wonder. But God is saying, please don't go to the store and come out with everything except the thing I asked for. And I'm looking for souls. This morning, the Lord wants somebody to come on home. Thank you. Don't nobody move. Don't nobody move. I'm going to do something. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. Oh, I surrender. Oh, I need every head bow, every eye closed. If you are in this room and you know that today is a day that you need to come on home, you know that you need to dedicate your life to Christ, you don't want to walk out this room without knowing Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, you have no idea. You plan on living for a long time, but for whatever reason, something crazy happens that you didn't foresee coming, you want to make sure that your life belongs to Him. I need you to throw your hand up and put it right back down. Just throw your hand up, put it right back down. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. If you are in this room, and you're saying, Lord, I belong to you. I know I'm in the family, but I've been away for a long time. I need to rededicate my life to you. I need to come on back home. I need you to throw your hand up and put it back down. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I just want y'all to know very quickly, I do not care about people's opinions. If you need the Lord and you need to raise your hand, I don't care who's sitting on your row or who's got something to say. This is about you and God. If you're afraid of somebody who might see you raise your hand, that's on them. You get yourself together with God. Don't worry about nobody else in this moment. If you're in this room and you know that you belong to Him, you're in the body, you're in Christ, but you're just saying, man, I've been one of those people that maybe I don't always let the lost people come on in. There's some things I need the Lord to move in my heart. I want you to throw your hand up and put it back down. Throw your hand up, put it back down. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I see that hand. I'm going to ask you, if you see some of you in this room who are saying World Overcomers is my church, for whatever reason, I just haven't been around. For whatever reason, I let something get in the way of me being connected to this church, but I know this is the place I'm supposed to be. I know this is my church. I know Pastor Andy is my pastor, and I want to recommit myself to this church. Can you just lift your hand up and put it back down? Put your hand up, put it back down. I see that hand. I see that hand. If you raise your hand on any of those invitations, I'm going to ask that you make a bold move and just stand up on your feet. Can you just stand right where you are? Just stand up. Don't even wait for nobody else. Just stand up right where you are. Just stand up. 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 I'm going to ask you guys to do me a favor. You're going to return back to your seat. I want to pray for you. I want to personally pray for you. I'm going to ask that you come walk down here and just stand at this stage. Come on, can you guys clap for them? I'm not trying to set you up. I just think that God's going to meet you where your faith is.
Oh, I surrender all.
Yeah, you guys, come on in. Come on in.
Oh, I surrender all.
For all of you guys who are kind of clapping a little bit, I can't let you get away with that. This is what God wants this morning. This is the harvest we've been waiting for. I can't just let you just be like, this is a nice church service. This is not a nice church service. This is the family being extended. This is God calling somebody back home. Listen, I don't have anything magical. I don't have anything magical. I'm not doing any tricks. But if you're sitting out there and you know you're supposed to be up here, what you waiting for? What you waiting for? Well, God can see me in my seat. I know He can. I know He can. I know He can. But I think today God wants you to make a move of faith. I just believe that. I just believe God just wants you to say, I see you. Come on. Where are you at? Where are you at? Where are you at? I'll wait for you. I'm not in a rush. 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 If your soul is at stake, your soul is at stake. If you know that you know, Pastor, I need to get up there. If you need to tell the people who are next to you, can you please just let me out? Let me get out of my seat. I just need to walk up there and take that walk. Your soul is too important for me to rush this process. If you are here, you know I got to come home. I've been away. I've been eating the slop with the pigs, but now I'm ready to do this thing new. I need a fresh start. If that's you, I'll wait for you.
I promise I'll wait for you because God cares too much. Come on. Come on. Come on. I promise I'll wait for you. Come on, brother. I'll wait for you. I'll wait for you. I'll wait for you. Come on, sister. I'll wait for you. Let her by. Let her by. Let her by. Come on, world overcomers. Come on. Listen. This wasn't a magic trick. I wasn't trying to trick you to come up here. You coming up here is for you, not for me. I'm going to pray for you. But before I pray for you, I need you to start to pray for yourself. Because you know what you really need from the Lord. I'm going to sing this song, but it's only to give you some space just to talk to God for a moment. And if you guys are back there, we're pleading for someone's soul. Do not think that the enemy is just going to let us have all these souls and he's just going to be here clapping. No, 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 no. This is spiritual warfare. We're wrestling for them. So I need my soldiers. I need those who are in the army. If you have the spiritual gift of tongues, whatever it is, if you have a spiritual language, I need you to utilize that thing now because these souls are at stake. Pastors and elders, if you can cover them, just begin to pray for them. Mark them with the Holy Spirit.
I surrender all. Oh, I surrender all. Oh, all to thee, my blessed Savior. Oh,
right, repeat after me. Say, Father, thank you for loving me. Thank you for sending your son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for me. I repent today as an act of my will. I turn from wrongdoing and give my life to you. Come into my heart. Save me now. Come into my life. Save me now. I believe Jesus Christ died for my sin. I believe he rose with all power. And I declare today, Jesus Christ is my Lord. Jesus Christ is my Savior. Jesus Christ is my King. Come into my heart right now. I give my life to you. I start over again. Everything new, everything fresh. Everything new, everything fresh. Everything new, everything fresh. Old things are passed away. Today my life is made new. In Jesus' name, let everybody say, let everybody say. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, I want to be the first person to congratulate you and tell you that you are now in the kingdom, to tell you that you have a God that's looking down on you and he is excited about your future. I came to look you in your eye and say, God's got his arms open wide. He's here to hug you. He's here to thank you for being a part of the family. He's here to put a ring on your finger. He's here to put some sandals on your feet. This is a new day. This is a new moment. Yesterday is gone. I see an eraser right now, erasing stuff from your past, erasing foolish decisions, erasing stuff you done said, erasing curses that was against you, and today you are blessed. I decree a generational blessing. I decree the blessing of Abraham, the blessing of Moses, the blessing of Isaac, the blessing of David, the blessing of Paul, the blessing of Jesus Christ. May it be on your life. Can I get somebody in this room, open up your mouth and shout hallelujah. Hallelujah in this place. Come on, shout hallelujah. Pastor Colin, I'm going to dismiss them. I'm going to dismiss them. Are they good? Are they good? Are they good? Are they good? Stay right there. Don't move. Don't move. Don't move. All right, you guys, do me a favor. You guys can take your seat for a moment. Just take your seat for a moment. Listen, you're part of the church. You're part of the kingdom. Come on, were you blessed this morning? No, for real, were you blessed this morning? I can't hear you. Were you blessed this morning? told there's a presentation. What are y'all doing? What is this? What's up, Tiana?
How are you?
I'm good. This suspect. What's going on?
You good? Hey, good morning, church family. My name's Tiana. I go here. I've been going here for 16 years. But today is Good Life Sunday. And Good Life is our young adult ministry here at World Overcomers. And myself and a few of our leaders today wanted to take this time to present a very special gift to our very own Pastor Brian and Karen Bullock.
Is she my gift? Is she my No, oh, I'm sorry.
We just want to take this time to say thank you to them for all they do. They're full-time parents as well as husband and wife and preacher, and they take the time to make this ministry home for us. This is just amazing, and it wouldn't be the way it is without these two people. So we want to say thank you. We gave you an all-expense-paid photo shoot. So photo shoot for two. And we also gave you a dinner for two at J. Alexander's. So no kids. You have babysitters. No kids allowed. So we want to say thank you.
Y'all got me for real. Can you put somebody say, this is family. This is what family's all about. This is what family's all about. Can you stand up on your feet? Y'all got me good. For real, that was good. I have one announcement. Next week, Pastor Colin, can we tell them about next week? Next week is family reunion week. We're doing two locations in one family. In other words, our Raleigh location is coming here next week. We are all going to pack this place for the 9 o'clock and the 11:30, and then there's going to be a family cookout afterwards. Can you do me a favor? Some of you have cousins and aunts that are part of your family that haven't been to church in a long time. Can you treat next week like it's Easter? Can you treat it like it's Mother's Day? Can you treat it like it's Christmas Eve? Can you do me a favor and pack this place? Can you start making phone calls this week and say, get here. Be here early so you can get a seat. Can you start telling everybody, we going to church next week? I don't care what y'all got to say. We are going to church next week. Who's going to commit to doing that? We got too many people. We got too many people who need it. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that as we leave this place, may we never leave your presence. And even as we go into the lobby to have some fun, thank you for this family. Thank you for even the gift that was given to me. I'm humbled. I'm honored. I appreciate all you're doing for us in our church. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody say, amen.